Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Those who have served through the ages have drawn inspiration from the book of Isaiah, when the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us?" American military has been answering for a long time. Here I am, Lord, send me.
They've damaged themselves, the experts, because in issue after issue, you can see that often, rather than expertise speaking, it's ideology.
We gather together in the assembly of the congregation to meet Jesus because we need him. He doesn't need us, we need him. And I think this is a crucial point that is often missed.
The fathers of the church called this the rite of Christian burial. And that's probably the best name for the whole business, because we are blessing our beloved dead by burying their bodies in the hope of the resurrection.
This is Will from Michigan, and I'm a Lutheran high school teacher and football coach. And I love beginning my day listening to Issues Etc. All right, guys, let's go.
Well, the Texas heartbeat law, that fetal heartbeat law that proved so controversial, is also proving somewhat popular. It's not half the country, but just under half the country appear, even after terrible, terrible treatment in the press and by the president and by almost everyone else in pro-abortion politics, it's still got a plurality of supporters in the American public. They don't think it's such a bad law. But how do you respond to the many objections that have been raised to it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be responding to some of those objections to the Texas fetal heartbeat abortion law with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute. Pastor Tom Baker will be alongside to teach a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 1. We'll be discussing the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel with Dr. Ken Sherb in our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, and Katie Faust will be alongside. We'll be talking with her about the adoption of two children by Pete Buttigieg and his gay partner. They posted a picture of themselves in a hospital bed as though the birth had just occurred. Then Dr. Ross Johnson will update us on Hurricane Ida relief efforts. Joining us to discuss some of the objections to the Texas fetal heartbeat abortion law, Scott Klusendorf. He's a regular guest, president of Life Training Institute, and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Todd, good to be with you.
Scott, I'd like your response to the president's recent remarks in response to the Texas fetal heartbeat law.
I have been, continue to be, a strong supporter of Roe v. Wade. Number one. And the most pernicious thing about the Texas law, it sort of creates a vigilante system where people get rewards to go out to, anyway. And it just seems, I know this sounds ridiculous, almost un-American, what we're talking about. Not to debate about, I respect people who think that, who don't support Roe v. Wade. I respect their views. I respect them, those who believe life begins at the moment of conception. And all. I respect that. Don't agree, but I respect that. I'm not going to impose that on people.
So, Scott, let's take these one by one. He talked about the creation of a vigilante system in this Texas law. What's your response?
Well, what he's arguing there is that because it allows any citizen anywhere in the country to sue someone who aids a woman in getting an abortion, that this is creating a vigilante system. Well, that's ridiculous. A vigilante system is one where you act against law, not within the law. So he's playing fast and loose with his terminology there. But I find it odd that he doesn't get angry if, for example, you look at the FACE Act, which allows abortion providers to sue pro-lifers who in any way interfere with an abortion clinic operation, he wouldn't be at all troubled if pro-abortionists were allowed to sue pro-lifers on that grand a scale, but he's bothered by it if pro-lifers get to do the same thing.
He called it un-American earlier in the week. He also called it unconstitutional. Your response?
Well, un-American, what do we mean by American? If we define American as natural rights, as we see in our Declaration of Independence. If that's the distinctive of being American, as I would argue it is, that we have natural rights that transcend the government, that are pre-political, and it's government's job to protect those rights, then what's un-American is to override the natural right to life of the unborn. That's what's un-American, not acting to protect the lives of the unborn, which is what government should do when it comes to natural rights. And what Biden is assuming and what the cultural left assumes is that the only laws that matter are the ones government puts in force, what we call positive law. Our founders saw it different. There are basic fundamental rights that we have that are based on our human nature, that flow from our humanity, and government cannot infringe on those rights. And one of them is the right to life. So if you want to talk about being un-American, Joe, let's talk about your override of the natural right to life.
And he did remarkably reverse himself on when life begins. He said that life doesn't begin at conception.
Yeah, that was really funny because here's a guy, keep in mind, let's do Joe Biden's history here. In the late 1970s and early 80s, he was sponsoring human life amendments and human life bills in the Congress. He was calling himself pro-life. He did a flip-flop because it was politically expedient for him to do so. So Biden's been all over the map as to when life begins, and who knows what he currently believes. Notice he didn't cite any scientific evidence. He reduced this to a personal opinion. And we saw this side of Joe start to come out in the vice presidential debates back in 2012, when there he is in a national debate, and he argues that abortion is a very personal issue, that he personally believes life begins at conception. That's the view of his church, but he's not going to impose that on anybody. Now he's at the point where he's questioning whether life even begins at conception, but gives us no evidence as to why we ought to believe it.
Scott, let's listen to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki's response to a Mail reporter about President Biden's support for abortion.
Why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
Well, he believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Who does he believe then should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected. Go ahead. I think we got to move on.
So, Scott, what's your response?
Well, I think if I had been that reporter, I would have looked at her and said, how do you know I'm a man? What right do you have to even assume that? I mean, this is the culture of Caitlyn Jenner, where we're not supposed to assume anybody's gender based on apparent biology. So what right does she have to presuppose his gender? That's the first thing I might say, just to smack back. But then here's the key logical thing. Arguments don't have gender. People do. Arguments stand or fall apart from one's gender. You have to weigh the argument for its soundness and validity. And you can't just dismiss it because you don't like the gender of the person making the argument. By the way, that's sexism, isn't it? When we judge people based on gender and we belittle them and make fun of them and disqualify them because they're a particular gender. She's got all kinds of problems going there, but the biggest being that arguments stand or fall apart from one's sex. Oh, by the way, if no man can speak on abortion, we need to reverse Roe v. Wade. It was decided by 9 men.
There's been a lot of online response. One via Twitter was, a dad can rape his daughter, get her pregnant, turn her in, and have her pay him $10,000. What's your response there?
Well, first of all, I love how we have to always run to the most extreme cases to try to disqualify what is a good law that limits abortion. Look, we could take that with virtually any law that's out there. Pick any law you want, and you could find some kind of insane exception where you could argue the law is invalid on the face of it because of that possible exception. Here's what's good about the current Supreme Court. They are not allowing facial challenges to these laws the way they used to. The way it used to work is if pro-aborts could think up any conceivable case where the law could be shown to be unfair, the court would throw it out just because there might be some example where that could happen. The federal courts, thanks to the Trump administration, are now taking a different approach. Our opponents are going to have to show plausible evidence that the law is unfair, that it places undue burdens on certain people. You can't just state this and assert it on the face of it. So that's an improvement in the federal courts. And I'm not surprised our opponents are trying to come up with all these extreme examples. Rather than argue their case on the merits, they come up with these kinds of things.
Others have suggested that Texas's heartbeat law would bring back back alley coat hanger abortions.
Well, again, notice what this assumes about the unborn. It assumes the unborn aren't human, because otherwise what you're arguing, Todd, is that because some people will die in their attempt to intentionally kill other innocent human beings, the state ought to make it safe and legal for them to intentionally kill other innocent human beings. But I mean, this is absurd. Why should the law be faulted for making it more risky for one human to intentionally take the life of another completely innocent one? This argument is so fallacious that leading pro-abortion philosopher Marianne Warren called it absurd. She said, look, murder is wrong regardless of the consequences of prohibiting it. If the unborn are human, if they're persons with a right to life, you can't argue for abortion on grounds that it will be more dangerous to kill them if abortion is made illegal.
And what about the mantra that we've heard repeated many, many times over the long course of abortion, but especially now in the wake of the Texas law, my body, my choice?
Well, there's two people who make that kind of argument, Todd. There's the academic and there's the street-level activist. Let's go with the street-level activist first. The claim is false on the face of it. This person is basically saying it's all my body, and they just pretend there's no other body involved. But that's crazy. It would mean then that a pregnant woman has four arms, four eyes, two legs, and I mean, that's absurd. Now, there's more academic people who try to argue that a woman has a right to bodily autonomy and that her fundamental bodily autonomy overrides any right the unborn might have a right to live, even if the unborn are human. And they make the claim that, well, you can't be forced to use your body to sustain another person's life if, for example, that person needs a blood transfusion from you to live. The state will not force you to give that. You may withhold it even though that other person needs it to live, and even though they're a person with a right to life. But abortion is not like that. It's one thing to say you shouldn't be forced to use your body to support another person. It's quite another to say you can slit your victim's throat in the name of withholding support, which is what abortion does. Abortion is not merely withholding support, Todd. It's intentionally killing an innocent human being, and that's very different than declining to use your body to offer support to someone else.
Scott, this is only the beginning, because as you know, the Supreme Court is slated to hear an actual case on a Mississippi law that sets a gestational limit. And there are many who are predicting that this court will, in fact, rule it to be constitutional and thereby force their own hand to, in essence, reverse Roe. And then it's every state for themselves. What should pro-lifers know going into this next phase of the Roe era?
Well, first of all, they need to know that even if we do have the best possible outcome, which is Roe is either severely gutted to where it's meaningless or it's outright reversed, which is what I would hope would happen, all pro-lifers need to know the very next morning, abortion remains legal in all 50 states. You cannot assume that that means, oh, good, we've won the day. No, we haven't. You're right. We're now going to fight this out state by state. And several states already have written into their state constitution trigger laws that should Roe be reversed, that state immediately codifies into law the provisions of Roe v. Wade. So this isn't going to make abortion go away, but it is certainly a necessary, though it's not a sufficient step for ending abortion. It is clearly a necessary one, and I pray God's grace that we see that outcome.
What is the question that we must always ask in any conversation about abortion, and why, Scott?
the key question always comes down to a larger question of who counts as one of us. In other words, what is the unborn? If the unborn are not human beings, then I agree with the most strident abortion rights advocate. All pro-lifers should get out of this debate. We should allow abortion for any reason whatsoever. We should use tax dollars to pay for it. We should tell any pro-life advocate, don't you dare impose your morality on anyone. I agree with all of that if the unborn are not human. But Todd, the debate that is always ignored in this is the question, what is the unborn? People simply assume the unborn aren't human. That's why Joe Biden can say things like, well, it's un-American to support a law in Texas that restricts abortion. You can only argue that it's un-American if you don't believe the unborn are human, if you don't believe their rights are being violated. So he's got a problem here. The American public has a problem here. We have got to force the issue around the question, what is the unborn? And all pro-lifers have to be equipped to do that.
Scott, before we let you go, you've got a project coming up that our listeners ought to know about.
Yeah, Todd, we've got an online course coming up through Frank Turek's ministry, Online Christian Courses, on the ethics of abortion. And I just made the point a moment ago that we as pro-life Christians must be equipped to engage on this issue. This is a 10-week course, a certificate course for all those who sign up for the premium level training, and they will get a deep dive into the thinkers on the other side that are driving the worldview debate on this. They'll learn how to respond to those thinkers on the other side. And this is a chance for pro-life Christians to truly equip themselves to engage. 10 weeks, running from the first week in October through the second week of December. The students watch videos of me. They get Zoom sessions with me. And the lecture notes alone are 230 pages. I'm telling you, it's loaded, Todd. And we think it's the most exciting resource out there for equipping pro-lifers to make a difference. And they can get that either through your website, I'll send the link over, or they can go to Online Christian Courses and see it listed there.
Folks, you can get more information on Scott's new course and his book, The Case for Life, and Life Training Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Scott, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the birth of Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 1.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.